This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. Ma yahdihillahu fala mudilla lah wa man yudlil fala hadiya lah. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu rasuluhu. Amma ba'd. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقده من لساني يفقهوا قولي ربي زدني علما امين. In the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most magnificent. All praise is due to Allah, Lord of the universe. We praise him and we seek his help and his forgiveness and we seek his protection from the curse Satan. Whomever Allah guides will never be misguided, and whomever he allows to be misguided will never be guided. I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, who is one alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family, his companions, and the righteous who follow them until the day of judgment. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My dear sisters and brothers, today's topic is about five matters that make a difference when we're looking for the best spouse for ourselves. Five matters. And these matters that were brought up to me was brought to me by people who are in this industry. I'm working with this lecture with pioushearts.com, and subhanAllah, they've been facing a lot of different issues, and I asked them what are the five major issues they're facing, and these were it. And so we decided to collaborate, and I decided to come up with a talk for everyone, so that inshallah, for everyone who's looking out there and for everyone who's trying to find their other half, try to, you know, have some things in mind and to understand the importance of certain things over other things, right? So the first point that I'm going to talk about is giving someone a chance. Giving someone a chance. I think we're too quick to judge, subhanAllah. We might see a resume or we may see a CV and we're like, mashallah, tabarakallah, looks good. Then we see their picture and we're not attracted, right? And it's, I mean, obviously, physical attraction is an important thing, and I'm not undermining that. However, what we need to do is be able to say, okay, wait a second, what would a conversation do? What would that conversation do with this person? Let's at least have one conversation to see where this may go, inshallah. You know, there was a quote that said, take a chance, you never know how perfect something might turn out to be. So it's not everything that you think. Sometimes, you know, and this is where, like, when people work together, when people, you know, co-mingle, whether it's at work or at school and all that, sometimes you'll see the strangest couples come out of these relationships, because they came in and they became friends and they really got to see the other side of this person, right? And I mean, in Islam, we don't have that. We don't sit there and just chit-chat with everyone and, you know, figure that out. But when it comes to time for marriage, and you look, and this person looks like a good prospect, whether it's a sister or a brother, you know, give them a chance. That's all I'm going to ask you guys. Just give them a chance. You don't have to like or dislike anything yet. You know, just take a chance and talk to them. Have a conversation or two. Pray istikhara and then see where Allah takes it, inshallah. You never know. That might be your dream person, even though they don't look like it from the outskirts, or something doesn't look, you know, right? But give that conversation a chance so you can see, inshallah, if this is what Allah wants and this is what's best for you. So this is very important. So a profile is one thing. And again, like I said, we can look at the profile, but, you know, to get a fair concept of someone, the verbal communication has to be made. It has to be from the sister and the brother. And sometimes a profile may look really great to us, but then again, we see that picture, as I said earlier, and we're not attracted to them. So the best thing that each one of us could do is, you know, let's talk to them, see their personality and their profile, and give it one or two conversations. Praise the khara and bismillah. If it's meant to be, alhamdulillah. If it's not, khalas. At least you tried and you know there's no regret. It may be, you know, this person that you don't think is a perfect match for you, in reality, it may be that he or she is, subhanAllah. And at this point, honestly, I'm very disappointed when people look only for looks, right? We're looking at mostly the brothers, they're all about looks. And where the sisters, they're all about financial security, right? And not all the sisters and not all the brothers, but I'm saying in general, we have this issue. And so we need to look back and beyond these things. We need to look at something deeper, inshallah, right? Because let's say he has all that money right now, but subhanAllah, and I know people like this. I know people who got married for that money, for that, you know, status of him having that. And subhanAllah, 7-8 years down the line, he lost it all. He had nothing. And what will you do? Will you stay with that person? And it's the same thing with a brother marrying a sister, mashallah, because she's cute and she's got a nice figure right now. But after a couple of babies, she doesn't care anymore. And she's not putting in that effort. What will you do? Will you leave her because of that? So that personality is so important, that there's a connection between the two of you and that you get each other and you understand each other and you have that. When everything else fades away, subhanAllah, you have that to fall back on, inshallah. So I'm going to go over a story. I'm going to read a story because I think stories are connecting the dots sometimes with the points. And so I want to read the story and I want you guys to reflect on it as I'm doing it. And I want you guys to try to think of who you think she is. And inshallah, is probably going to go give it away soon, but I just want you to think about it. She was one of the noblest women around, coming from a very prominent family. She was also quite beautiful and the holder of a considerable amount of wealth. Being a prominent businesswoman, to marry her would have been a great feat for any man. And indeed, quite a few of the most prominent and wealthy men in society had asked for her hand. Yet, she rejected them all. Already being a widow, she had lost the desire to marry again. She was also divorced. Until he came into her life, who was a young man of 25, and although he was of a noble family, he was an orphan, and he was not of a man of many means. He had made a meager living tending sheep in the hills surrounding the city. Yet, he had impeccable moral character, and he was widely known as one of the most honest men around. This is what attracted her to him. She was looking for someone honest who could conduct business for her, as she, a woman in a fiercely patriarchal society, could not do it herself. So he started working for her. After he came back from his first business trip, she asked her servant, whom she had sent with him, about him and his conduct. The servant, amazed her by his report, this young man was the kindest, gentlest man he had ever met. Never did he treat the servant harshly, as many others do. Yet, there was more. As they traveled in the heat of the desert, the servant noticed that a cloud had followed them the entire time, shading them from the blazing sun. The businesswoman was quite impressed with her new employee. Not only that, but this new employee proved to be an astute businessman in his own right. He took his employer's merchandise, sold it, and with the profits bought other merchandise that he sold again, thus profiting twice. All this was enough for her. The embers of love in her heart that were once extinguished became rekindled again. And she resolved to marry this young man who was 15 younger than her. So she sent her sister to this young man. She asked him, "Why are you not married yet?" He said, "For lack of means." "What if I could offer you a wife of nobility, beauty, and wealth? Would you be interested?" she told him. He replied in the affirmative. But when she mentioned her sister, the young employee chuckled in amazement. "How could I marry her? She has turned down the most noble men in the city, much wealthier and prominent than me, a poor shepherd," he said. "Don't you worry," the sister replied. "I'll take care of it." Not long after the wealthy businesswoman married her young employee, and it was the beginning of one of the most loving, happiest, and sacred marriages in all of human history. Who were they? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Khadija bint Khuwailid, the daughter of Khuwailid. When they were married, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was only 25 years old, and Khadija radiallahu anha was 40, yet that did not bother the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam one bit. He loved her so deeply, and she loved him as deeply. They were married for 25 years, and she bore him 6 children, 2 sons and 4 daughters. Both the sons died in a young age. Khadija was a source of immense love, strength, and comfort for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he leaned heavily on this love and support on the most important time of his life. So I want you guys to reflect here. SubhanAllah. Today, what we're looking for is the opposite. We're not looking at character. We're not looking at, conversations. We're not looking at deeper stuff. We're looking at the really on the outskirts, what will fit us. Is he good looking? Is she beautiful? Is he this? Is she that? Does he have a good career, good money? Does she have this? Does she? Can she cook good? We're not looking at something way beyond that, going, subhanAllah, what if all of this is gone? And at the end, we only have each other. Can we live with each other like that? Or is this materialistic world, this, you know, fakeness around us, is that why we're living? Is that why we're getting married? For looks and, you know, beauty and status? Or is it something deeper? So again, reflect on this, inshallah. Where are you in your life and what would you do? Okay, so number two, the second point I want you guys to go over is setting realistic goals. Everyone is trying to go for a superman or a supermodel, right? And they don't exist, my dear sisters and brothers. They are in Jannah, inshallah. They're waiting for us in Jannah, not in the dunya. Personality plays a big role. You can be pretty, but you can be bitter in life. And also that outside beauty doesn't last forever. And there'll always be someone prettier or someone more handsome or someone with a nicer body. So recently I was speaking to a client of mine and he said something very wise. He said, personality is key to me. Soon we'll both get wrinkles and gain weight and all we'll have is our personalities. All we'll have is each other. And if we get along and we have fun together, then subhanAllah, we will be happy till we're old. But if we don't have that and we're marrying for the other items, then we won't be happy. We may end up in a divorce. So subhanAllah, my dear sisters and brothers, how can you tell if you get along if you don't even give that person a chance for one conversation? How? While you're reflecting on this, I want to share with you a true story. And this was shared with me a while ago by a friend. And subhanAllah, it's quite sad, but it is true. It's called Inner Beauty versus Outer Beauty. Assalamu alaikum, Mahmoud. What's going on? It's been 5 years since I saw you last, Sir Ahmad. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Nothing much, Ahmad. Just been busy. How have you been? Said Mahmoud. Alhamdulillah, I've been great. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed me with a wonderful wife shortly after I finished college. And now we have two beautiful daughters, mashallah. I have a good job as an engineer and I'm teaching Quran on Sundays to the kids at the Islamic school. Alhamdulillah. How about you? I heard you got married too, mashallah. Tell me what happened, said Ahmad. Yeah, I got married. I got married to the most beautiful girl in the city of Kandahar. Every man wanted to marry her. Her father requested that whoever wants to marry his daughter must pay $20,000 cash to the family. I thought she must not be that pretty, so I went to see for myself. When I went back home to visit her family members, I saw for myself. Subhanallah, the rumors were true. I had never seen anyone more beautiful than her. Light skin, green eyes, dark hair, slim. She could have been a supermodel. I knew once I saw her that she was the one I had to have. My desires and egos would not let her get away. So I told her dad that I'll pay him $5,000 as a deposit so that he may not give her to anyone else and that I would bring the other $15,000 within a month. And he agreed. He let her see me and she too agreed. And I felt that I was the luckiest man on earth. However, that was only the beginning. Her father told me that she too had a list of requests that I would have to fulfill those as well. He said that that was her mahar list. I said, okay, let me hear it. She said she has never worked. He said that she has never worked a day in her life in the kitchen or clean. She needed a maid and a cook after she got married to have the same lifestyle. She also said she wanted a nanny for the kids whenever she had any, and she wanted a nice, big, beautiful home and an allowance of about $1,000 a month for her own personal use. Once again, I agreed. I could not say no to her. She was so beautiful. I would give her anything she wanted, said Mahmoud. Mashallah, it seemed like a fairy tale, Akhi. You always said you'd marry someone for her looks, and I'm so happy for you. So do you guys have any children now? Asked Ahmad. My dear Ahmad, it is far from a fairy tale. Yes, we do have two children. one boy and one girl. However, the travels began after marriage, said Mahmoud. He sighed and he became silent for a moment. He looked down and he looked very sad. Troubles? What troubles? Is everything okay? Said Ahmad. Alhamdulillah, it is now. But I went through 4 years of hell, my dear brother. That is 1,461 days of hell on earth. If you only knew, said Mahmoud. Please tell me what happened, said Ahmad. Well, you see, Ahmad, I married her for her looks, the most beautiful woman. But I should have listened to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and married a woman for her deen. You see, I've been working 3 jobs just to meet all of her demands for a maid, a cook, a nanny, and everything else she wants. I've never had time to enjoy being with her. All I've done is work about 18 hours a day to make her happy, but she never cared to make me happy. When I was not working, all she did was complain about what she did not have. SubhanAllah, every day I thought, what a terrible decision I made to marry her, and how much I wish I could change it. However, I have now 2 kids with her, and I knew it was far too late for me. I felt doomed and depressed, said Mahmoud, as he sighed again and took a long deep breath. Astaghfirullah, I'm so sorry to hear that, my brother. It seems that your marriage has some serious issues. So how are you fixing it, said Ahmad. Well, I fixed it. After 4 years of torture, I spoke to several imams and told them that my deen was falling apart because of this marriage. Before my marriage, I used to pray 5 times a day at the masjid. I used to attend the Friday night halakas. I used to volunteer on the weekends. After marriage, I couldn't do anything but be a slave to this woman. The imam told me I had a right to ask for a divorce if she was keeping me from my deen and making me to be a slave to her. They told me that I could not be a slave to a woman, but only a slave to Allah. As hard as it was for me to do this to my children, I realized it was the best thing to do. So I asked her for a divorce. She asked to be sent back home to Kandahar to be with her parents. As much as I did not want to be far away from my kids, I did as she asked. I want to have my kids come for the summer, and I would visit them twice a year in Afghanistan. SubhanAllah, it's only been 3 months since my divorce, and I've never been happier. I'm back to one job, praying 5 times at the masjid, and have a simple lifestyle. I'm even taking classes of tajweed right now, alhamdulillah, said Mahmoud. SubhanAllah, I thought stories like this only happen in the movies. I never thought in reality women could be that way, even if they were so beautiful. What do you think was the lesson here? What advice would you give other brothers who are looking to marry the most beautiful woman? Asked Ahmad. I tell to all of the brothers to never marry for looks, to marry a righteous girl for her deen, to not be arrogant or shallow, and to remember that happiness is when both people in the marriage think about making each other happy. It's a win-win relationship, not a one-way relationship, inshallah. That inner beauty is more beautiful than the outer beauty. That the one who follows the path of Islam will always know the true meaning of happiness versus the woman who is following her desires in this world. She'll be in an illusion of happiness, and nothing will truly make her or her husband happy, said Mahmoud. MashaAllah. Well said, my brother. I'm very happy of the lesson that you've learned and how you're helping your brothers by telling them about what true beauty is. May Allah always keep you happy, and may He bless you with a righteous wife who has inner beauty that glows from her face. Ameen. My dear brother, it looks like the imam is here and salah is about to start. So let's go, make wudu and get ready, said Ahmad. Yeah, let's go and get ready. My favorite time of day, said Mahmoud as he smiled. So my dear sisters and brothers, I want you to think of the story, in conclusion of the story. I want all of you guys to know that this is based on a true story. It's a reality. SubhanAllah, many sisters and brothers fall for the beauty, for the trap of beauty and handsomeness. They think that if their spouse is good looking, then everything else will be perfect, inshallah. Wrong. Sisters, think about it. Think about what truly matters at the end. I know as a mother of 4 kids that I only want righteous believers to marry my children, inshallah. I want you guys to think about your children, your sisters, your family members, and ask yourself at the end of the day what is important, what is not. I remember another story of a young brother asking for a sister's hand was beautiful, mashallah, and she said yes. Several months later, after they were engaged and about to get married, this young lady got into a car accident and she came out in very bad shape. She was, Allah Azza wa Jal tested her with removing her looks and other parts of her bodies. So she was handicapped and some of her face was scarred. Her beauty was no longer there. Immediately after the brother saw her and came to the hospital, he broke off the marriage, the engagement. It was gone. He didn't marry her. Therefore, each one of us needs to think what is valuable to us when we're approaching marriage. And we should take the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and marry the one who has the best character and deen. So that if we are tested with a situation like that, then inshallah, we're going to still be there for each other, because it's going to be what's inside that matters, not on the outside only. Okay, step number 3. Have the intention to get married. Have the intention. This matters tremendously. Please do not sign up with these matrimonial sites or websites or matchmaking sites or apps if you're not ready. If you're not serious, if you're playing around, please don't do that. Don't play with people's feelings. Giving false hope is wrong. If you're going through a difficult transition and you aren't ready to get married, or you know, you're having issues but you haven't fixed them and you haven't gone through this properly and you just want to find someone else because you're in a rough spot, don't do it. First get through what you're going through and then get married, inshallah. Get married for the right intentions. And don't hurt other people's feelings, whether that's sisters or brothers. Please respect that. I mean, we wouldn't want it to happen to us, so don't do it to anyone else. Okay, step number 4, be honest. This is massive, 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 massive. Be honest. Please do not lie. Period. The truth will always come out. It's wrong on so many levels. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Beware of lying, for lying leads to wickedness, and wickedness leads to hell." And this can be found in the book of Bukhari and Muslim. We need to remember this. It's not worth it. Whoever you are, whatever you are, how much you are, subhanAllah, it is enough for many people. It is enough for, and when that right person comes, inshallah, you will get to be with them, inshallah. And that's what counts. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, when a person tells a lie, the bad smell that comes out of the lie keeps the angels away, about a mile away. And this can be found in the book of Tirmidhi. So guys, really think about it. It's not worth starting a relationship on lies and dishonesty. Okay, so I want to talk about one more little story. And I want you guys to think about this story in a different way. Because each story has its own, you know, lesson to it. MashaAllah tabarakAllah. So a great man of leadership and power, loving a smart and beautiful young woman, and she loved him back. They had the real thing. They had love, they had romance, they had true happiness. Despite his enormous responsibilities, he always found time for laughter and kind words of affection. He raced with her and she won, and he made a fuss about it a while later. And later on, she gained some weight and he raced with her again. This time he won and said while she was laughing, "This makes us even." She was smart, she was funny, kind, wise, and he treated her as an equal. And when he was asked, who is the most you love? And he replied by saying her name. Then he was asked, "Who is the most you love of men?" And he replied by saying her father, not the man's name. The leader found time for the little things. He used to turn her glass of water around, searching for the traces of her lips to drink after her. She used to cut his hair and groom him. They would kiss before he would leave the house, and he bought her presents. On an expedition, she was with him, and she lost her necklace, so he stopped the entire army to look for it. He used her nickname everywhere and all the time. He was not shy to show his affection towards her in the most respecting and honoring way. He forgave her jealous nature and flaws and made excuses for her. At the end, he died on her lap after promising her that they will rejoin in Jannah, inshallah. She never said a bad word about him during his life or after his death, and stayed faithful to him until her time of death. This is a true love story of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his wife Aisha radiallahu anha. What we would what would we give to have that, subhanAllah? But wait, my dear sisters and brothers, we can have that. It's the Islamic household that makes this a reality. Two people join together to share love and compassion, having the same goals and objectives of finding true happiness in this life and the one after, and establishing a new true Muslim generation, inshallah. SubhanAllah, reflection, you know, compassion, kindness, mercy, finding time for each other. All of this is massive in a relationship. Okay, and the last step I'm going to go over with you guys today, inshallah, the last thing that matters, that makes a difference when you're looking for a spouse, is don't change for them. Don't change for them. Don't change for anyone. If you want to change and you want to be a better person and you want to be a, change your life and do things the right way, then subhanAllah, do it. But do it for Allah Azza wa Jal. Do not do it to impress a sister or a brother. Because the second you get into a fight or in a disagreement, you will not keep up with it. And also, don't think that you can change anyone else. I get this question asked of me all the time. Should I marry this person? They don't wear hijab now, but they said they're going to wear in the future. And I'm like, if you really want a hijabi, then no, marry a hijabi. If you really want someone who has a beard, then marry someone who has a beard. If you really want someone who's a niqabi, then marry a niqabi. Don't expect people to change and to get that. Yes, mashallah, tabarakallah, people have good intentions. But subhanAllah, marry them when they're ready, not when they're trying to get ready. Because sometimes, subhanAllah, they don't get to that. And I know so many marriages, so many. The minimal marriages, yes, mashallah, they do it. A small number. Large number? No, they don't. And it ends up causing divorce and other fights and other issues. And then people actually, the people who are practicing, because their spouse never start practicing, they start not practicing. They start leaving that way as well. So it's very dangerous grounds. And so I always say, obviously, pray your istikhara, ask Allah for guidance. And that's the most important thing. Always ask Allah for guidance on every single, you know, prospect that comes to you, inshallah. But again, marry them where you're at your level. Don't expect them to be at your level. And if they're not ready, and that's going to take them a long time, and you're not ready, it will cause more conflict than you need. You know, Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah Ar-Ra'd, verse number 11, Allah will not change the condition of a people until they change what is in themselves. And sometimes this takes a while, and sometimes some people never get to it, subhanAllah. They never get to it. So you want to be where, if you have certain expectations, certain rights, you know, get married in that. Don't expect people to change, whether they're sisters or brothers, and whether, you know, they're leaving things, or they're gonna change, or they're gonna quit drinking, or they're gonna quit, you know, wearing this or that. Just marry them where you wanna be, inshallah, and you'll be happier with that. So inshallah, I hope that this lecture was beneficial and that you guys were able to get some knowledge out of it. It's definitely been exciting for me to work with pioushearts.com and to recommend them to others, because I think, subhanAllah, they're doing an amazing job. And I think, mashallah, tabarakallah, they're trying their best to help sisters and brothers, you know, find their other half. So if you're looking and you want to get rid of the headache and not look for the person yourself and get someone else to help you, join them at pioushearts.com. Go to the internet, their website, check them out, do some research, pray istikhara, and then see, you never know what Allah has planned for you, inshallah. Right? Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. How perfect you are, O Allah, and I praise you. None has the right to be worshipped except you. I seek your forgiveness and turn in repentance to you. Jazakallah khairan, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.